It was an add of rematches on SmackDown tonight, WWE SmackDown, and AEW Rampage in the books, another Friday night. I am the Solemn Monster. I hope you guys are having a great Friday night here. It is January 21st, 2022. It was a night of rematches on SmackDown tonight, but the one match that was not was the best match on the entire show, and that was the main event with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens representing Monday Night Raw, taking on the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, with not the titles on the line, but actual stakes in the main event. There was actually something important riding on this match tonight. It had Royal Rumble implications. If Rollins were to win, the Usos would be barred from ringside for the Universal title match next Saturday at the Royal Rumble. And if the Usos won, then Seth Rollins would not get his championship match. So it kind of gave away the finish, but I thought that main event was a lot of fun. Outside of that one match, not a whole lot to get excited about on that SmackDown show tonight. Over on Rampage, we had the in-ring return of Jon Moxley, his first AEW match since October. Checked himself into rehab. He missed a few months. Came back on Dynamite Wednesday night. Gave that speech in the middle of the ring. And told off that one heckler in the crowd. Came out tonight. And had a pretty good match against Ethan Page. And we got the first tease for what is coming up next for Mox. We got the first tease for the match that I hope we were going to be getting. Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson made a brief appearance on the show tonight. I certainly hope that he was wrestling in a dark match for the live crowd tonight. Because if that's all he did, tonight was a live Rampage in Washington. I'd like to think that he did more than just come out and clap and applaud for Jon Moxley if I bought a ticket to be at the show tonight. Speaking of fans buying tickets to the show, I'm sure Bully Ray is going to be very upset that Jon Moxley did not apologize to the fans tonight. You know, he missed his chance on Wednesday, had a chance tonight to do it again, failed to do it. I'm sure he's very upset. Hit that like button. Super chats are open. I have added a bunch of new ones over the last week or so for you guys, and I'll be reading them all later. And for those of you who may have missed it the other day, we had some fun here on the channel. We did a Royal Rumble watch-along in celebration of the 30th anniversary of the 1992 Royal Rumble on Wednesday. It is up right now exclusively for Sound Off channel members. You want to watch along with me the greatest Royal Rumble of all time, you may do so. And also, coming up on Sunday, The World on GCW. This is going to be my first GCW pay-per-view recap here on the channel. The man that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on, Jon Moxley, who I was just talking about, is defending the GCW world title in the main event against that man, Homicide. And in fact, not only is Jon Moxley going to be on the GCW pay-per-view this Sunday, we saw him on Rampage. We saw somebody on SmackDown who is going to be wrestling on the GCW show coming up on Sunday. And if you're not really paying attention to the GCW stuff, you're probably wondering who? Right, like the New Day. Who would that be? Well, we're going to get into that here in a little bit. We got a lot to get into here. Right now, all I need you to do is like, subscribe, sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy the ride. That's all I need you guys to do. Quick note here, LA Knight beat Roderick Strong in a dark match before SmackDown. So two more NXT names we've heard in recent weeks, Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne. They've also made appearances on Main Event. They have been brought to SmackDown and Raw, I believe, for some dark matches. What up, Malik? In the chat. What's going on, Malik? Tonight, it was LA Knight and Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong lost to Walter. That's his name. Lost to Walter on NXT Tuesday night. And he lost tonight in the dark match to LA Knight, somebody who I have been just completely flummoxed. For lack of a better word, it's the first word that popped into my head. Flummoxed. Flabbergasted. as to why LA Knight was not drafted to Raw or SmackDown back in October. He seems to have everything that Vince McMahon would look for in a main roster star. You know, outside of how old he is on the older side compared to all the youngins that they want. But he's the same age as Damian Priest. There's no reason for LA Knight to not already be on Raw or SmackDown. So I would hope whatever they were looking for in this dark match and this tryout match tonight, whatever you want to call it, they saw what they needed to see. And this is somebody, especially, they could really use him, I think, on the SmackDown side right now. So we'll see if that leads to anything. But SmackDown itself opened with the Usos, the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, already in the ring to celebrate the longest reigning Universal Champion in WWE history. The Universal title lineage extends back 2016, I guess it was, so it hasn't been around for that long. But Roman Reigns has set the record, well over 500 days and counting, 508 as of today for Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. That brought out Roman Reigns, who came to the ring. They aired a video package showing all of the men that he has defeated, going back to the night that he pinned Braun Strowman at Payback back in 2020 to become the Universal Champion. And they showed all the highlights, all the people that Roman Reigns has knocked down, from Kevin Owens multiple times to Daniel Bryan, Edge, Cesaro, a lot of other people too, John Cena, Finn Balor. He beat Big E at Survivor Series. He's been mowing people down left and right. Jey Uso, actually. Jey Uso early on in his title reign. Seth Rollins interrupted. Or shall I say Seth freaking Rollins. I talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. It is now officially part of his name. It is not Seth Rollins. It is Seth freaking Rollins. So Seth Rollins comes out. And he tells Roman, hell of a package. I assume he was referring to the video they just showed, but they did share a locker room together for many years, so only he knows. He pointed out that Roman sent the Usos to attack him at the end of Raw on Monday night. And then Rollins starts to put over Jimmy and Jay. He starts complimenting the Usos, and he's giving the Usos a lot of credit. In fact, he's saying that the Usos, you cannot understate their importance in Roman Reigns' championship reign. As far as the reason Roman has been able to hold on to that title for as long as he has, the Usos deserve a lot of credit for that. And he starts talking about how similar it is, the way that Roman relies on the Usos to help him win a lot of his matches. It's very similar to, as he said, and these are his words, how me and Mox were to you in the Shield. So Roman called him little brother, and he asked him if John Cena wrote that material for him, because he's just repeating stuff that he said before. And he promised him that in their match at the Royal Rumble, it would be one-on-one, and there would be no interference from the Usos in their match. Rollins proposed a tag team match tonight where he would go find a partner, and the two of them would take on the Usos later in the show. And if he won, the Usos would be barred from ringside for the Universal title match at the Royal Rumble. And while Roman was sort of, he was thinking this over and contemplating, he looked kind of torn on this idea. Jey Uso piped up and accepted the challenge. And he said, who would be dumb enough to partner with Rollins? Who would be dumb enough to partner with you anyway? And Rollins said, well, you got a point there. There's a lot of people who don't like me. But at that moment, we heard Kevin Owens' music. Kevin Owens, another superstar from Monday Night Raw, his BFF of late from Monday Night Raw, makes his way out, and they hugged, and Owens looked into the camera and shouted, I like him. And Roman said, look, it ain't official until the tribal chief makes it official. And he goes, when Seth loses tonight, there has to be something else on the line here. When Seth loses tonight, he loses his championship match at the Royal Rumble. He goes, those are the stipulations. Take it or leave it. And Rollins thought about it, and he accepted. Actually, Roman said that after Rollins loses, he's then going to take a vacation all the way until WrestleMania. He's not even going to wrestle until WrestleMania. So Rollins accepted, and we had our main event. I thought it was a good open. I thought that it was good that they applied high stakes to the main event. It didn't feel like just a random tag team match put together with no purpose. It had high stakes as far as the pay-per-view next weekend. So I like that aspect to it. One thing I didn't really like, listening to them put this match together, and I'm thinking, well, of course, the Usos are going to lose this match. And the Usos are the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. The Usos kind of went on a little bit of a losing streak not too long ago on TV. They lost a whole bunch of matches in a row. Not a fan of that when they do that to their champions. I was pleasantly surprised by how they handle things in the main event. But a minor quibble. I enjoyed the opening segment, and it set up a big main event for later in the show. Next up, we had a rematch, the first of many, on this show. I said, outside of the main event, there really it was just the night of rematches on SmackDown. We had Kofi Kingston, one-on-one against Madcap Moss. This was a rematch after Kofi lost to Moss last week. Kofi made his entrance, and then they played Big E's music. Now, remember, Xavier Woods is out. He suffered an injury in their tag team match against the Usos. They had a street fight a few weeks ago. He tore a muscle in his knee. He's probably going to be out through much of next month. So he's out of the Royal Rumble. So we have Sir Kofi, but there's no King Xavier. Instead, we had Big E, former WWE champion, Monday Night Raw's own. Big E makes his way out to be in Kofi's corner to make sure that Happy Corbin did not get involved in this match. You know, they're going to have to change their tagline for Survivor Series at this rate. I always joke about it, but tonight it was fucking comical. They say it every single year, right? Every single year about Survivor Series. It's the one night a year. The one night a year you get to see the stars from Raw against the stars from SmackDown. Big E didn't wrestle here, although he is wrestling next week. We got that in the main event, though, tonight. We got Raw versus SmackDown in the main event tonight. It don't work no more. You got to come up with a new slogan. Michael Cole, I will say they were having Michael Cole try his damnedest to explain why this was happening. It's Royal Rumble season. Survivor Series season is no longer the only season where we can have fun with Raw versus SmackDown. Now, it has extended to Royal Rumble season. And soon it'll extend to WrestleMania season, and then it'll extend to SummerSlam season. Yeah, I'm not saying it isn't fun sometimes to see crossover between, you know, big names from one brand to the next. But it will never not be funny to hear them talk about how Survivor Series is the one night a year. It's just ridiculous. So Big E came in handy early. He sent shoved Corbin into the ring steps. Corbin at one point was kind of making his way towards Kofi. He was threatening Kofi. Big E said, I don't think so, came over, grabbed him, threw him into the ring steps. They cut to commercial. Kofi later on got the win with the Trouble in Paradise. And after the match, Big E was staring a hole at Baron Corbin outside the ring. He picked up Madcap Moss and gave him the big ending, sending a message to Baron Corbin. Now think about this, right? Today is what? What is today? January 21st. That's right. Quizzical One says wild card rule, of course. Of course, you could always explain these things away just by shouting wild card. And there you go. You're off the hook. Today is January 21st. On January 1st, Big E walked into day one in Atlanta as the WWE champion. 20 days later, on January 21st, Big E is on SmackDown quarreling with Happy Corbin. That is quite a fall from grace for Big E. That's rough. And next week, it's going to be Kofi and Big E against Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. So last week, we had Aaliyah, who had not been on television in a couple of months. She disappeared, right? Remember, she was going to be on the Survivor Series team. And then I believe she was booted off the team, and then we haven't seen her since. So Aaliyah showed up last week and they did this angle where she pinned Natalya in 3 seconds because Natalya was crowing about how she's got 3 records in the Guinness Book of World Records. And now she's going to, you know, get the record for the quickest win. So, of course, they went out there and Aaliyah pinned her in what they claimed was a record. I'm not even sure that's a legitimate record, but they claimed it was the quickest win in WWE history. 3.17 seconds or something like that. So tonight they ran it back again. Aaliyah, one-on-one against Natty. Before the bell rang, they introduced WWE legend Summer Rae. Everybody's a legend now. Although that will never be as funny as hearing WWE legend Alicia Fox. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. The fact that you spend so many years in the company, that alone does not make you a legend. I'm still wondering what people like Summer Rae and Alicia Fox did exactly to become legends. But that is how they refer to them. I actually was liking what they were doing with Summer Rae in NXT. Summer Rae, this is probably going back to NXT, this was early, like 2014, 2015. I still remember the promo that kicked off the Sasha Banks turn. Remember that promo in the old NXT show at Full Sail? They were in the back and there was, you know, a mirror in the women's locker room and Summer Rae is yelling, she's berating Sasha Banks and Sasha's staring into the mirror. I still remember that. That was what really started this transformation for Sasha Banks, but Summer Rae was doing good work back in NXT. I look at Summer Rae more as an NXT legend than I do a WWE legend. And even that's a bit of a stretch. But she was at ringside, and she was staring a hole at Natty. We were told that, I guess, the two of them have been beefing on social media. I wouldn't know. I've been beefing with everybody else this week about a lot of other stupid shit. So I had no idea that the two of them were going at it. But she didn't get involved or anything. They just wanted to show that apparently there is an issue between them. What followed here was very dumb. This was very dumb. It only went about a minute. Natty was disqualified when she was kicking too much ass. It was the old kicking too much ass finish in the corner. She was kicking Aaliyah. She wouldn't stop. The referee put the 5 count on. She wouldn't stop. And so he disqualified. So when the bell rang, she went back after Aaliyah again, and all of a sudden we hear Xia Li's music. The same Xia Li I asked about her last week. I said, where is Xia Li? She debuted, right? She was the protector. She protected, I forgot who it was that she was protecting. It might have been Naomi. And then we never saw her again. We got a Royal Rumble coming up. They need bodies in that match. Where is Xia Li? Well, Xia Li was back tonight. But she came back and did exactly the same thing that she did the last time we saw her. She came into the ring, she kicked Natty in the gut, Natty ran off, and that was it. Now, I assume that Xia Li will be in the Royal Rumble match, but after that, who the hell knows when we're going to see her on TV again? Who knows? But this was a dumb segment. At least the best I could say about it is that at least Natty didn't just go out there and get her win back. You know, they did that with Kofi. Kofi lost last week. He got his win back this week. You know, to do that 2 segments in a row would have been very dumb. So they gave it to Aaliyah, and they pointed out that Aaliyah now has 2 victories over Natalya. So that was the segment. They cut to the announcers at ringside, and Michael Cole reminded us that we are only 10 weeks away from what they are billing. This is now the buzzword for WrestleMania this year. This is the word that they are going to be using for the next 10 weeks, that WrestleMania this year is the most stupendous 2 nights in history on April 2nd and April 3rd. Pat McAfee pulled out what looked like a 10-pound dictionary and slammed it down on the table at one point, and he was reading from it. This guy was like somebody who's been drinking caffeine. He's been on a caffeine binge for the last 16 hours. This guy was a ball of energy here, and he was reading the definition. I don't know if it was the definition or synonyms for stupendous. He was reading us some kind of definition from the dictionary, and he's reading all of these different words, and one of the words that McAfee used was dynamite. That was one of the words that Pat McAfee used was dynamite. I thought to myself, oh my God, we had a Mox mention and a dynamite mention all in the first hour of this show. What is going on here? The invasion is about to take place. Right? Where's the invasion? It's coming. Cody Rhodes is going to be in the Royal Rumble match for sure now, guys. Come on. Cody is going to be in the Rumble next week. Well, come on. What number is he going to be? Huh? Is he going to be number one? They're going to make him run all the way to the end? Mox and Dynamite all in the same show. We have the Viking Raiders against Los Lotharios. I thought this was good while it lasted, which wasn't very long. I mean, it went a little over 2 minutes. Ivar tagged in, hit a running crossbody on Angel Garza, took out Humberto with a kick. Eric made a blind tag, hoisted Humberto up, and the finish came when Eric hit a simultaneous World's Strongest Slam and a powerbomb. He had both members of Los Lotharios up, slammed them both down, and got the win. So that's really it. I mean, not much to it, but it was good while it lasted. Joseph Brooks, thank you, sir, for the $9.99. I will get to your super chat in just a little bit. Joseph, the other Joseph here, Joseph in the chat, says the way they dress Xia Li, she might as well be Chun-Li. You should see how they dress Saray on NXT this week. I'll talk about Saray on the podcast on Sunday. I didn't hate that as much as other people seem to hate it. Charlotte Flair, the SmackDown Women's Champion against Naomi in a championship contenders match this after Naomi last week convinced Adam Pearce that Sonya Deville screwed her out of a win over Charlotte in their last match, so he agreed to give her another match tonight. Naomi makes her entrance, right? Feel the glow. Naomi makes her entrance, comes down to the ring, and they cut to commercial. When they come back, and this is one of the things that really annoys me now about WWE programming. Just one. They come back, and they show the on-screen graphic promoting tonight's main event. It's the Usos against Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. And as soon as they put the graphic on the screen, I tell you, I'm not exaggerating. The reaction, the crowd noise that they played, that they clearly piped in, you would think that's the glass shattered and Stone Cold Steve Austin was walking down to the ring in his BMF vest. And he was climbing the ropes and he was clanking beer cans against each other and drinking in the middle of the ring. For a fucking graphic for a tag team match in the main event, that's the crowd noise they piped in, very clearly piped in. Now, if you're going to pipe in crowd noise, there's a way to do it. This ain't it. They have gone so overboard with the crowd sweetening on these shows. I thought the goal was to not make it so noticeable. Try to do it in a way where it's almost indistinguishable from the actual crowd noise. They haven't exactly mastered the art of this yet. I was just, of all the things to pipe in that level of crowd noise for was a fucking graphic on the screen that was showing tonight's main event. I'm sure there were people in the building who were somewhat excited about this main event. They weren't that excited. In Nashville, they weren't that excited for this main event. So you gotta dial it back a little bit. It was just comically loud. So Charlotte walked out. See, I'm going to say something nice about Charlotte this week. Charlotte walks out in this black and white robe. I don't know if you picked up on this. I don't even know if this was done on purpose. I would think it probably was. She walks out in this black and white robe that is very reminiscent of the robe that her father wore to the ring when he won the Royal Rumble in 1992. And as I said earlier, I just did a whole watch along for the 92 Rumble with all the channel members on Wednesday to commemorate the 30-year anniversary of that match. So I'm not sure if this was done with that in mind. They did this on purpose or she did this on purpose. But that's a little suspect, you know, that we're celebrating the anniversary. I'd be surprised if there wasn't some intention there. So I thought that was very cool. And honestly, She looked great out there in that robe, and that was probably the best gear that I've ever seen her wear in the whole, the black and white gear and everything. It looked good. So Sonya Deville got into the ring before they could start, and she ordered Charles Robinson to disrobe. Charles Robinson, I'm sure, was very, very excited about this. But he wanted him, or she wanted him, to take off his referee shirt and give it to her so that she could wear it. And so Sonya Deville made herself the special referee for this match. Charlotte was going for the figure four a few minutes into this when Naomi kicked her away. And Charlotte inadvertently collided with a forearm, collided with Sonya Deville. And she knocked Sonya outside the ring. Charlotte turned around into a rear view. Naomi had the match won, but there's no referee because Sonya is down on the floor on the outside. Now Naomi is distracted. She's looking down at Sonya. Here comes Charlotte from behind. She clips Naomi's leg from behind and goes to lock on the figure four. Sonya, all of a sudden, recovers very quickly. And she climbs back into the ring, and as soon as Charlotte gets the figure four leg lock applied, she has not even had time to bridge up into the figure eight. Sonya, without even looking at Naomi, is calling for the bell, calling for the submission. She pulled a Bret Hart. I think even Pat McAfee made reference to. What in the Bret Hart is going on here, he said. They did a Montreal screwjob finish here on this show. Montreal came to Nashville tonight on SmackDown, and she awarded Charlotte the submission win. So, poor Naomi, screwed yet again. Let it play out, guys. Let it play out. Just let it play out. KC says, is Sonya racist or something? She might be, because WWE has not bothered to tell us why in all these months, 5 months, whatever it's been. There's never been even an attempt to tell us why Sonya Deville has it out for Naomi. So she might be. She might be. Ever see that episode? There's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm with the racist dog. I don't know why it made me think of that for some reason. That was a funny episode. This isn't funny. This is just dumb. At least explain to us in the story. What is it that Naomi did or said that sparked this entire thing? It's the same thing every week, and there's still no explanation about how we got here. Backstage, Kayla Braxton interviewed Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Owens said that he took the mic and said, "You mind if I talk?" And Rollins said, "Sure, go ahead." And Owens said, "You know, I would have been Universal Champion were it not for the Usos, back when Owens was feuding with Roman Reigns over the Universal title." He said he couldn't stand the thought of them doing the same thing to his best friend. And that was pretty much the segment they walked off. But right after he called Rollins his best friend, who should be making his way out to the ring? Sami Zayn. I'm sure was very upset hearing him say that. The newly re-signed Sami Zayn, who re-signed sometime in the last couple of months. He re-signed with WWE, we found out this week. Zayn was out for another segment where he would try to do stunts that Johnny Knoxville used to do on his Jackass show. This week, he was going to test a series of self-defense items on himself. He had a cattle prod. There were handcuffs laid out on this table in the ring. He never got to use the handcuffs or the billy club, but he had a cattle prod. And he started with that, and he shocked himself first on the leg, and then, you know, they played this shocking noise over the PA system. Basically, they took the Mountie's shock stick noise and they played it over the PA system. And he pretended that, the voltage was a little too high. He goes, "All right, well, this time I'm going to try it dead center. I'm going to take it right to the heart." And he does the same thing and shocks himself, and they play the noise and he pretends that he's all hurt and everything. And they played the Jackass theme, and Johnny Knoxville walks to the ring. And the people in Nashville, they liked Johnny Knoxville. They were chanting for him. They were chanting the man's name. And he gets into the ring, and he points out that, you know, that cattle prod, if I could see that for a second, that cattle prod was in the off position the entire time that you were using it. You forgot to put the thing on. Here, let me help you out here. And he turns on the cattle prod, and he shocks Sammy with it. And Sammy collapses, screaming in pain on the mat. They kept the sound effect going, though. After he shocked Sammy and Sammy fell to the mat and he wasn't touching Sammy anymore, they continued to play the shock sound on the shock stick. So unless it's one of these things where when it's in the on position but not touching you, it's supposedly making no- That's not the way the Mounties used to work. The Mountie would make noise when he actually connected with your skin. So I assume they just kept that soundbite on longer than they should have, and it looked completely fucking ridiculous. Because he's standing there with the stick just holding it, and it's making that noise. This looked completely ridiculous. Then he helped Sammy to his feet. He dumped him out over the top rope like he said he will do at the Royal Rumble. Look, the crowd enjoyed seeing Knoxville. They cheered for him. They liked seeing him because he was a celebrity and they know who he is. He's a TV star, movie star. They see him as a star. Sammy is always good in this role. I like Sammy. I like, you know, generally the job that he does with this whole conspiracy victim gimmick that he's been doing. This segment was just lame. This was just a lame segment. In the back, Adam Pearce was shown talking to Eric Bischoff. Talk about random. There he is. And there's no explanation, by the way, for why Eric Bischoff is on this show in this one segment. They never explain what he was doing there. I guess Eric just randomly visits WWE events, even though he lives in the middle of, where is it, Cody, Wyoming, or wherever he usually is living. They were in Nashville tonight. Maybe Eric was... He was traveling somewhere else and happened to be in the same city. And he's like, you know what? I think I'll go backstage and visit SmackDown. I already visited Raw a few weeks ago. So let's go see what's going on SmackDown. The very show that I was fired from. I worked on SmackDown as the executive director for, what was it, 3 or 4 months. And then they fired his ass. Vince McMahon said, thanks, we don't need you anymore. Thank you for your service. That was before they even debuted on Fox. They brought him in to oversee things, and before the show even debuted on Fox, they fired him. But there he was. He was standing in the back with Adam Pearce. His second WWE appearance in the last few weeks. First, he was on Raw. Now he's on SmackDown. Just like everybody else, apparently. You can go from SmackDown to Raw, Raw to SmackDown. It doesn't really seem to matter. He has left AEW behind. I think Bischoff said something recently about Tony Khan not returning his calls anymore. He was critical of Tony Khan about something a while back. Because he had made a whole bunch of appearances on AEW television. And I think he had said that Tony wasn't returning his calls. So I guess he decided, well, if this guy's not going to return my calls, I'll go work for WWE. So he has left AEW in the rearview mirror as Eric Bischoff. Sonya Deville walked in, and Adam Pearce introduced her to Bischoff and then told her, look, you overstepped your bounds with what you did tonight to Naomi. He was discussing it with Eric, and we agreed that you overstepped your bounds. You abused your power, basically. He told her that, I'm going to recommend to upper management that we have a match next week, one-on-one, next Friday, you one-on-one against Naomi. And she had this look on her face, this kind of mischievous look on her face. She was a little too okay with it. She says, fine, go right ahead. And she walked out of the room, and I was left with the impression that either she's going to go over his head to somebody else in management, or she's already got a friend in upper management who's going to reject this idea and side with her. Who that is, I guess we'll see. Maybe she's buddies with Johnny Ace. We're going to find out that she's buddies with Johnny, or she's buddies with Bruce. Maybe we're going to get fucking Brother Love on the show next week. Talk about how much he loves Sonya Deville. I think she's already got friends in upper management that he's not aware of. People that go a lot higher than Adam Pearce. And so when she left, Bischoff looked over at Pearce and he praised him for his leadership skills and how he handled the situation. When they came back to the arena, Pat McAfee was making a reference. He wasn't directly promoting the podcast, but he kind of made a reference where he was trying to mention the name of Bischoff's podcast, which is 83 Weeks, right? After the 83 Weeks that Nitro beat Raw in the ratings, but he called it 82 Weeks. So, oops, Oops. He shaved off 1 week. Ricochet against Sheamus with Ridge Holland back in his corner. First time we've seen Ridge Holland since the kickoff show at day one when his nose was shattered by Ricochet. Another match that just did not get enough time to be much of anything. Time was in short supply for most of these matches on the show tonight. Ricochet went for a suicide dive, and as he's coming through the rope, Sheamus just wrecked him with a knee strike, a knee lift right to the face. Put him back in the ring, hit the bro kick for the win. Thanks for coming, Ricochet. Better luck next time. Actually, next week, we'll probably get Ridge Holland against Ricochet next. Backstage, we had Shinsuke Nakamura, the Intercontinental Champion, and Rick Boogs. They were walking backstage when Boogs spotted, off in the distance in front of them, a wild Jeff Jarrett. Here in his hometown of Nashville, Tennessee. The same Jeff Jarrett, by the way, who wrestles Effie at the GCW pay-per-view this Sunday, which I will be covering. GCW making their debut on Sunday night at the Hammerstein Ballroom here in New York. Jeff Jarrett, of all people, is wrestling in a feature match on that show. So that makes two Conrad podcasts that were represented on this show tonight. Well, three, if you count Bruce. In the back, because I'm sure he was there. But not counting Bruce, we had Jarrett and we had Bischoff. Now, I know why Tony Schiavone wasn't there, and I know why Jim Ross wasn't there. Who else does he work with, right? How many podcasts does Conrad have? God bless Conrad. How many podcasts does he have? Who else does he have? He's got Kurt Angle, right? Okay, we didn't have Kurt Angle on the show. He just started one, I think, with DDP and Jake the Snake. We know Jake's doing the thing with AEW, and so does DDP sometimes. I feel like I'm missing about 18 other ones. So Conrad only had two of them on the show tonight. But Jarrett just happened to be hanging out there, I guess because it's Nashville. And so he's Jeff Jarrett. He just randomly shows up. And he's in the back, and he complimented Rick Boogs on his guitar skills. And then he asked him, what's your name? And they got him to say, well, my name is Rick Boog. And he did the whole Boogs thing. And then Jarrett wanted him to spell it out the way that he spelled out his name back in the day. And they cut away. And that was the last we saw of Jeff Jarrett. So a lot of cameos. A lot of cameos on this show. Bischoff, Summer Rae, Jarrett. Just random people showing up. I was going to say, maybe we'll see Jarrett in the Royal Rumble. We had him in the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago. Right. Wouldn't be surprised to see him make another cameo in there. So the main event was the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, taking on Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Owens came off the top with a senton. Jimmy got the knees up, tagged out to Jay, who delivered a super kick to Owens. Owens had rolled out to the floor, so he went out after him. And Rollins was on his knees on the floor. Jay hit him with a super kick. They cut to the final ad break of the night. Usos had Owens isolated coming out of the break. Rollins eventually got the hot tag, hit a suicide dive out onto both Usos. You know, when he hit the suicide dive, and the place went nuts for it, it reminded me of those fiery babyface comebacks that Rollins used to make when he was with The Shield. When The Shield turned babyface, Rollins was the best babyface in that company. When they would have those Shield six-man tags on Raw back in 2013, it was The Shield and Daniel Bryan carrying that show throughout the entire year. Rollins had the best babyface comeback in all of wrestling. The way he would fly, he would jump and do a dive out on one side, get back in the ring and jump and do a dive out onto the other side. And land on his feet. And the place would go nuts. And that's kind of what this felt like here during this match. You know, he did this dive out, wipes out both Usos. Back in the ring, though, he gets caught with a pop-up Samoan drop for a near fall. Owens tagged in, hit a pop-up move of his own, a pop-up powerbomb for another near fall. Owens went up top. He got cut off by Jimmy. Owens, though, turned it into a Fisherman Buster suplex off the ropes. He had the match won, but Jey Uso broke it up. Rollins tagged back in, hit the curb stomp, and had the match won. But Roman Reigns, before he could get the pin, Roman Reigns ran in and hit the Superman punch to Seth Rollins for the disqualification. He knew the match was lost, and so he decided, fuck it, I'm going to punch this guy in the face anyway. And that was the main event. That was pretty much, you know, Rollins was selling the jaw. Roman walked out. That's how they went off the air. A hot main event, and I like that they spared the Usos from a clean loss. Would have been very easy. And look, they were going to lose, right? Rollins had them beat. Hit the curb stomp. We all know how the match was about to end. But still, the DQ here avoided the mess of having two singles wrestlers who aren't even on this show pinning your SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which should not be happening. So I like that. I like the DQ finish here because it accomplished two things. It spared the Usos, but it also sets up the Royal Rumble match now. It tells you these guys are barred from ringside. So if you are tired of the Usos interfering in every Roman Reigns match, you will not have that on the Royal Rumble next week. So it accomplished that goal. It served that purpose. I like that aspect of it. It was a little weird because at the beginning of the show, you have four heels. Actually, you have six if you count the Usos. You had Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jay, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. They are all positioned on these shows as heels to be booed. And so it was weird, but the crowd took to both guys, but they really took to Seth Rollins here on this show, especially during the main event. The question now, fans seem to have made their choice about who they're cheering for next weekend. Question now is this going to carry over beyond the Royal Rumble? Whether Seth wins next weekend or not, is he still going to be positioned? I can't even say position. Is he going to be positioned? Are the fans going to take to him as a babyface, or is he back to annoying Seth Rollins, healing on everybody and wearing the ridiculous suits and acting like a jackass? That's the one question we don't yet know the answer to. Will he be positioned as a babyface after the Rumble heading into WrestleMania? I like the alliance of him and Owens. I like them together, but I think they work better as heels. I just think that act works better and is more entertaining, most likely. If the two of them are in the heel role. So I don't know how they're going to approach that going forward. Look, you know, heading into WrestleMania, we know that it's going to be Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. We know they're coming back to it. We know that. So that's going to be the WrestleMania match. But it could be for the WWE Championship and not the Universal Championship. It's not going to be title for title. It's not going to be champion against champion. It was never going to be. Like, that's what I've been saying. It's not going to happen. It's going to be for one title or the other, and it could be, in the end, for Brock Lesnar's WWE title. Now, I wouldn't do it that way. I'm not predicting that that's the way it's going to go, but, you know, you watch the show tonight, Rollins has a very real chance of being the one to beat Roman Reigns next weekend. I still don't think that he's going to. I think the fact that they are pushing this narrative on commentary so hard that Rollins is too in his promos, that Rollins beats Reigns nearly every single time, you know, in the majority of their matches, and I think all of their singles matches, Seth Rollins has this guy's number. And they keep hammering that point home. Does Roman, you know, what's Roman going to do? He's always lost to Seth Rollins, and now they've taken away the Usos. So They're doing all of these things. They're really almost stacking the deck against Roman Reigns. They want you to believe that Seth Rollins has the best chance of anybody in the last year and a half to take that championship away from Roman Reigns. Pushing it hard enough that it makes me think it's almost as if they're telling you Roman Reigns is going to finally beat Seth Rollins and keep his title. And I hope he does. I hope he does because the way that I envision all of this playing out does not include Roman Reigns losing that championship, at least until WrestleMania. And maybe not even there, but at least not until WrestleMania. Not at the Royal Rumble. I still feel like that would be a mistake. We switch over to TNT for a rare live episode of AEW Rampage, opening with the in-ring return of Jon Moxley, who made his return appearance on television On Dynamite on Wednesday night, opened that show as well with this impassioned promo in the middle of the ring. I wish I would have taken the image to throw it up on screen. I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it by now. The before and after photo of Moxley from only a few months ago on TV, right before he went away and went to rehab. So we're going back to the fall. As compared to how he looked when he walked out on television on Wednesday night, I mean, it was night and day. It was almost like two completely different people. You know, his face, his head was so bloated. And maybe you looked at it then and thought, oh, Moxley's not in the best of shape. A lot of people probably didn't even pay much attention to it. But when you see it side by side like that, you realize, holy shit, the transformation in just 3 months, 4 months that this guy has gone through just by getting off the booze. Now, and I'm sure he's been in the gym. I would think he's been, you know, working out as well, but it's incredible. It really is. And I've seen people posting who have had issues, you know, similar issues before with alcohol, who say, yeah, that's a sign of an alcoholic. You know, you get this bloat, this like bloated face, this certain look that you get. But to see those images side by side like that, he looks more like Dean Ambrose. You know, he sounds like John Moxley, but he looks like Dean Ambrose. He's in the best shape of his life. So he was out for a match against Ethan Page. Moxley was mauling Page in the corner with forearms, and Page came back with a flying shoulder tackle that sent Moxley through the ropes to the floor. V. Joe says, Hook's hair looks far more disheveled than in that. Well, yeah, in the artwork here on the screen, I mean, his hair doesn't look ridiculous. On television, it's just completely out of control. But I'm sure there's a lot of people in the chat who are watching this wishing that they still had all the hair on their head that Hook has on his. What is he, 20 years old, 21 years old? His hair won't be looking like that in 20 years, I could tell you that much. So he better enjoy it while he can. But the shoulder tackle took Moxley out to the floor, and Page laid Moxley very gently. He laid him down across the timekeeper's table, and he starts, you know, raining these right hands down on him. So he's just punching him, and all of a sudden the table just gives way. The table it collapses under the weight of Moxley. I'm thinking to myself, this guy just lost all this weight. How is this table collapsing under the weight of John Moxley? Where do they buy their tables from in this company? Bob's Discount Store? Where do they buy these fucking things? Back in the ring, Moxley went on offense. He missed a charge into the corner. He went shoulder first into the ring post and fell to the floor. They went to their first picture-in-picture at that point. They come back from break. Ethan Page went for a crucifix powerbomb, but Moxley slid out. Hit a trio of German suplexes. Page missed the boot. Moxley didn't. He connected with a lariat. Both guys went down. Ethan Page escaped a paradigm shift attempt, countered with a twisting brainbuster for a near fall. Page charged at Moxley. Mox low-bridged him. Out goes Page. Moxley hits a suicide dive. Goes up top. Page catches him, though. Power slam Moxley off the middle rope for two. So he had him in position for like a big ending, but then flipped him over and hit a power slam. Only got a near fall. Moxley countered the pin attempt, though, with a crucifix for a near fall of his own. And when Ethan Page got his shoulder up on the pin attempt, Moxley just destroyed him with elbows and knee strikes and locked on the bulldog choke. And Page passed out for the ref stoppage. So John Moxley picks up the win in his first match back. After Page finally came to, didn't know where he was, didn't know what just happened. He came face to face with Moxley. Moxley kicked him in the gut, hit the paradigm shift, and left him laying. So I thought it was a good comeback win for Moxley. They gave them 10 minutes. Ethan Page looked good. He more than held his own in there. As Moxley is going back through the crowd from whence he came, right? He's exiting back through the crowd to go to the backstage area. Here comes Bryan Danielson. By the way, I love the fact that whenever we see Bryan Danielson on TV, even the night he debuted it All Out, he just wears a plain white t-shirt. Like, he's not there trying to hawk his merchandise and sell some new... Jericho's out there. I mean, the guy's like an award show host who has like 16 wardrobe changes. I'm shocked that that's not him on these shows, where if he's in multiple segments, he'll change into a different shirt every segment just to try to sell a new one. Danielson comes out, plain white shirt. He's not there to sell t-shirts. He's there to kick people's heads in. He walks out. He's applauding. He's clapping for John Moxley. He's very impressed by this guy's win. Moxley staring at him. And Danielson has this look on his face. Yeah, this very almost sarcastic look on his face as he's applauding this guy. And Moxley continues on his voyage to the back. This was Bryan Danielson's first appearance on TV since losing to Hangman Page a few weeks ago on TV. And I saw this and I got very interested in this, because this is the match I was hoping that we were going to get. This was the next feud for Danielson that I was hoping for once we saw that Moxley, you know, did come back this week. And it's the match that I'm almost positive we were going to get in the finals of the World Title Eliminator at Full Gear. Moxley, of course, left before that. They replaced him with Miro. But I'm certain that that was going to be the match that we were going to get at Full Gear in November. I'm almost certain it was going to be a Jon Moxley heel turn, probably Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston heel turn. Plans change, obviously, because of extenuating circumstances. And so now we have our first seed planted. We have our first tease for a Danielson-Moxley match, I would assume, at Revolution in March. That's not a match they should be doing in the next few weeks. That's your, if not your main event, that's your co-main event right there for the Revolution pay-per-view in March. So I am very excited to see those two get in the ring together one-on-one. Nier is joining us. There's Nier in the chat. Much love to Nier over in Israel. I hope you are doing well. I was going to say on a Friday night, but it might be Saturday morning where you are. We had Nick Jackson one-on-one against Trent Barretta. This was supposed to be a Roppongi Vice reunion. It was supposed to be Trent and Rocky Romero taking on both Young Bucks. Rocky announced earlier today, I believe, that he had tested positive for COVID. And so he was taken off the show. Instead, it turned into a singles match here. Barretta hugged Chuck Taylor on the stage because the whole Best Friends faction came out. And they're on stage, and so he hugs Chuck, and he bumps fists with Orange Cassidy. He let Chris Statlander give him the little boop on the nose that she does to people, right? She booped him. She bopped him. But when Wheeler Yuta went to fist bump Trent, Trent just kind of stared at him, and he patted him on the back, and then he walked to the ring. And I thought that was interesting. Mildly interesting. See what happens there going forward. I thought this was the second best match of the night after the main event on SmackDown. I enjoyed the SmackDown main event more. I just thought that was more fun. But I thought this was a very good match. Nick went for a senton. Barretta got the knees up. And Trent hit a deadlift German. Barretta hit a backdrop suplex and a spinning DDT for a near fall. Nick then grabbed referee Rick Knox and used him for a distraction. Again, not hard to do. Usually Rick Knox is the one who is distracted. Random. This ain't no plain black shirt. Who said it was plain? You gotta represent you gotta represent old school here. Gotta represent NWO colors here. So Nick used Rick Knox for a brief distraction to set up Barretta for a German. Barretta, though, came back with his own. Both guys were down. Nick went to the apron, hit a springboard destroyer for a near fall, and followed up with a corner knee strike and a bulldog. He went for a super kick, but Trent avoided it, delivered a half and half. Nick hit the super kick. Trent came back with a lariat and a stuff pile driver for two. They rolled out of the ring onto the ramp. Barretta went for a pile driver. Nick, though, backdropped out of it. And then he climbed up top and hit a senton off the top onto Barretta on the ramp. Nick rolled him back into the ring, hit a 450 splash, only got 2.5. Trent kicked out. Nick hit a super kick. Beretta avoided the second one and turned that into the strong zero, and he got the win. That surprised me. I was expecting a Nick Jackson win here in this match. So that actually surprised me. It was a strong match. I thought it was very good. But like I said, I thought the second best match on either show tonight. I assumed the Bucks were going to win this. If it had stayed a tag team match, Roppongi against the Bucks, I have to assume the Bucks would have gotten the win here. So, you see the gentleman on your screen there, not Moxley, but the other one. They call him Hook. Call him Hook. And now they call him something else as well. They have given Hook a nickname. They mentioned it a whole bunch of times on TV. I saw them using it on social media as well. They're calling Hook the cold-hearted, handsome devil, which sounds like some silly name that you would get in WWE. I hope they get away from that name. Hook does not need a nickname. Hook is Hook. That's what makes him cool. You call him Hook. There's no frills. There's no nickname. There's nothing else. It's Hook. They play his music. He walks to the ring. He stands in the corner and looks bored. The bell rings. He beats up his opponent. He throws him around. He chokes him out. He goes to the back. That's it. We don't need to call him the handsome this. We don't have to come up with all these names for him. Don't start doing that. Don't start getting cute with this guy. So it was Hook one-on-one against Serpentico. Streamers shot off for Serpentico at the beginning of this match. And Hook looked at this and he said, well, fuck that shit. He just went over and started beating the hell out of Serpentico. This guy was still in his gear, his robe, whatever it was that he was wearing, and he's throwing this guy all over the place. He hit a series of takeovers. He got a double wrist lock takedown. Serpentico, though, got the rope break. Hook then hit an overhead belly-to-belly, locked in a standing red rum for the submission win. We haven't seen him do a standing one yet. Usually they're down on the mat. Serpentico's a small guy, though, a little skinny guy. So he locked on the hold and beat him with it, and he was, shaking him around with it, wouldn't let go of the hold. I like this kid's style. Arrive, wreck shit, and leave. I like that style. QT Marshall came out after the match, and he ran down Hook. He's had issues recently with Hook. He ran down Hook and said, look, this is what I'm talking about. He beats up his opponent before the bell. The bell rings now, and he won't let go of the hold after the match is already over, right? Like this kid is some kind of a menace. Hook goes to walk right by him, because QT is on the ramp, and Hook is just like tunnel vision, like literally heading for the tunnel. He goes to walk by QT. QT grabs his arm and spins him around. And that was a mistake, and Hook grabbed QT, barely got him over, but he did get him over. I'm sure the landing didn't feel too good. Suplexed him on the ramp, stepped over his body, and walked to the back. So another fine appearance here by Hook. Not keeping him out there for too long, letting him throw his opponent around, submitting them, and leaving. And beating up QT Marshall. I mean, what more can you ask for? He dropped QT Marshall on his ass. As he will, I'm sure, when they inevitably have their one-on-one match. So they decided to go with Jade Cargill, defending her TBS title for the first time as the main event tonight. They put her in the ring one-on-one with Anna Jay. Jade hit a fall-away slam and a kip-up early in the match. John Silver confronted Smart Mark Sterling on the outside of the ring. And Jade sees this, and Jade goes over, and she goes face-to-face, or chest-to-face, with John Silver, and John Silver is posing, he's doing the bicep pose. And then he ducks, and at the moment that he ducks, Anna Jay comes in and nails Jade with a forearm. And so they cut to the final picture-in-picture of the show. They come back from break. Anna got the Queen Slayer choke locked in. She was standing on the apron, and she had it locked on. Jade was in the ring. And Jade just dropped down, choked Anna neck first over the top rope. But Anna made a very quick comeback. and hit a series of kicks, hit a flatliner, at which point Smart Mark jumped up on the apron for the distraction, and John Silver hit a brainbuster. He pulled him down from the apron and hit this guy with a brainbuster on the floor, and that took out Smart Mark. Anna got a backslide for two. Jade came back with the pump kick from hell. That's what I wrote here. Pump kick from hell. Her pump kicks look devastating. Some of her offense just does not look very good. She's still very green. She's still learning, but the pump kicks look good. She looked like she wrecked this woman with it. Shout out to Nier, who just became a channel member. He is a brand new Sound Off superstar. You've got a Royal Rumble watch along waiting for you in the archives, my friend. So Jade hits that pump kick and goes for the Jaded, which of course is her finish, the Glam Slam. She goes for the Glam Slam. Anna, though, countered out of it, got the Queen Slayer sleeper locked in. Jade backed up into the corner to break the hold. Anna, though, was still in control. And Anna propped herself up. She sat herself on the top rope and reached down, and she applied the sleeper. She applied the choke. Choke, sleeper, whatever it was. She applied the hold to Jade. And Jade Jade breaks the grip, but she grabs Anna and places her over her shoulder. And Anna slips out, sends Jade into the corner, comes in, does Anna Jay, with a spinning heel kick. When she does, Jade catches her in mid-kick and powers her up into the air. And if you've seen Raquel Gonzalez on NXT, this was her finish. This was the Chingona Bomb. She gave her a Chingona Bomb and then followed that up with the Jaded, her actual finish. And that was the end of Anna Jay. Jade Cargill improves to what I believe now, did they say 25-0? I think she was 24-0 coming into this match. Whatever it is, she's still undefeated. And she is still your TBS champion. Now, this was an improvement from her last match, the match where she won the title from Ruby Soho in the finals of the tournament. This was a step up from that match, so a small improvement, but I would not have ended the show with this. I would have ended the show and built the entire show around Jon Moxley's first match back in 3 months. And that little confrontation at the very end with him and Bryan Danielson, I think would have been a nice little cliffhanger for the end of the show. Now, I know why they did it this way, because it's a championship match. And if you've got one championship match on the show, then you want to end with a championship match. But if it were me for tonight, I think ending with the Moxley win and the little face-to-face with him and Danielson, what does this mean? Little cliffhanger to go off the air. That's how I would have ended the show. But it was a fun hour. Some good action on the show, and I'm very excited to see where they go with Moxley and Danielson. Again, I have to assume it's going to be the Revolution pay-per-view on March 6th. Justin Salinari just became a Sound Off legend. That's our top tier. This guy, look at this fancy boy over here. Welcome to the family, Justin. Happy to have you. Check the polls here. We got two polls going at Solomonster on Twitter. You can go vote. They're going to be up for a couple of days. So the poll is open beyond just the one night, just so you know. SmackDown, very mixed. Right down the middle. Look at this. 37% thumbs up, 31% thumbs in the middle, and 31% thumbs down. I mean, that's almost like a straight line down. So now let's check the Rampage poll. Quite a different story. 78.5% thumbs up, 13% thumbs in the middle, and 8% thumbs down. And I'll call it the fastest hour in wrestling for nothing. On the whole, Rampage was definitely the better show. But there was no match I enjoyed more tonight than the main event on SmackDown. I have to give SmackDown the match of the night honors. But that's me. Marcus was stunned by the light mode. Yes, when I put the Twitter polls up, it is a bright white background. It is a bright white background, so I apologize. I have dark mode on most everything, actually, on my phone. Well, yeah, most apps, Twitter on the phone, and Chrome. It is a lot easier on the eyes, I will admit. But let's check out your super chats. If you have them, if you want to send them in, I will read them. If you have questions or comments, I do appreciate all of the support here on a Friday night. So let's start with our boy Groovy Goose. Hey, Timu. Timu, that's the reason why I never used to put the thumbs in the middle option. Everybody wanted it, so I might take it away again, but for now, we're going to do thumbs in the middle because that's what people wanted. And the funny thing is, when I go to thumbs in the middle, then people complain that it's a cop-out option. If I take it away, people complain that how come it's not thumbs in the middle? It's not fair. You can't win. Look, I was accused... The funniest thing all week, I was accused by someone this week of carrying water for WWE and being anti-AEW. I was accused of being basically a bootlicker for WWE. Of all the things that you could possibly accuse me of, I can't say that I expected that and that I get accused of carrying water for WWE. So it's very easy to tell. It's very easy to tell who actually watches the streams and listens to the podcast and who is just talking out of their ass. That was one of the funniest things I read all week. I said, I'm exposed. I have been exposed. My secret is out. You're right. I am a secret spokesperson for Vince McMahon. Clearly, I am a secret spokesperson for Vince McMahon. My stack of WWE checks. You know, Vince is an old man. He still does things the old way. There's no direct deposit. I have physical checks. They're all stacked up over there in the corner. From Stamford, Connecticut. Groovy Goose with the $9.99 super chat. My take, WWE does not want to make new stars because they don't want to be big league by former talent in the future, like Rock. Skipping Survivor Series, Bret Hart's circus animal comparison is apt in this case. Naif Alsafar with the $4.99. Thank you, Naif. Thank you very much. Food Hive, $1.99, stuck between Rampage and Ozark. I am watching both. Be calm, see clearly, $2 super chat. Destination Unknown, Ruby Soho. Love in my head. Now we have a Ruby Soho fan here. I know, Jeff is shocked in the chat. Solomonster, the E-Drone. I never thought I would see the day. Actually, I lied. I have to come clean and be honest with you guys. I don't have checks. There's no checks here from WWE. Vince sent me a giant golden egg as payment for all of the wonderful things that I have said about him recently. So I have the egg. I am now in possession of the egg. The egg is over there. I don't want to show it because the glare from the lights, it'll reflect back into the camera. It'll blind everybody. But yes, I have the giant egg. He sent it to me as a token of his appreciation, so... It is being well taken care of. I have it in a glass case. Mr. Andrew, $4.99 super chat. 508 days, and they haven't built one person to beat him. Crazy how they understand how to build a strong person in Roman, but cannot do the same for others. It's always been that way. Now they build around one guy at the expense of everybody else. Why not build up two? Build up three. You know, I mean, Xavier Woods, freak thing in that match with the Usos a few weeks ago where he was doing this springboard DDT into the ring, and you could tell the exact moment if you go back and watch, he kind of grabs the knee, you know, he just, a random muscle that tore in his knee. What if that happens to Roman Reigns? You know, what if that happened to Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble? What do you do then? They're fucked. But they put themselves in that position. Loki Agatho. Enjoyed Rampage in the SmackDown main event. Off topic, but I know you're a big horror movie fan. Wondering if you saw Scream and what you thought of it. I have not seen it yet, no. I hope that it doesn't take very long for it to land on digital. So I have not seen it yet. That's why I liked Halloween. When Halloween came out in October, they did a dual release on the same day in theaters and on Peacock, and it was perfect. Didn't even have to leave my house. Joseph with the $5 super chat. I don't see Rollins beating Reigns at Royal Rumble, and now that Drew is hurt, do you think Brock is the one to take the title from Reigns at WrestleMania? Very likely. Right now, I would say I am leaning towards them taking the belt off Roman at WrestleMania if they don't do it at the Rumble. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that putting it on Brock is the ideal choice, although we have been seeing more of Brock on TV. But Brock doesn't wrestle every week. Even if he appears, he doesn't wrestle on TV. So you're still going to be in a situation where the title is almost held hostage. You know, even if he's making a few more television appearances. Ideally, they would have had a full-time person on their roster built up enough to where people can look at that guy and say, that's the guy. That's obviously got to be the guy who's going to beat Roman Reigns. And then Roman loses, and you start this new era post-WrestleMania on SmackDown with whoever that person is. And they could have done that with somebody. They could have done it maybe with Finn Balor when he was on SmackDown, if they kept him there and really built him up. Look at what they've done with him. It's a sin. But whether it's Balor, you want to pick a different person who's not as small, whoever it is, AJ Styles, right? AJ Styles has gone babyface now. I'm not even sure AJ is the answer. AJ is a Teflon guy. He's already a made guy. Ideally, you want to make somebody new. You want to elevate somebody new into that main event position, and they've done a very poor job of planning for that. So, yeah, I think it's likely that Brock wins, but even Brock is not an ideal choice. It's kind of sad they have to keep going back to Brock. Luis. Our boy Luis. Belmont Show. $5 super chat. Big E on SmackDown. He says, brand split non-existent. Well, I can't disagree with you. Joseph Brooks, $9.99. What is the one dream match that you personally wish we could have seen? Mine will always be Rock against HBK and Taker against Sting, especially since Sting was finally in WWE. Mine is Bret Hart against Kurt Angle. That's always been at the top of my list. Bret Hart, prime Bret Hart against prime Kurt Angle. That's number one on my list. Terry Allen Jr., $2 super chat. Did you watch the 2K22 trailer? Very clean and realistic. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it looks good. I'm not as into the WWE games in recent years as some of you might have been. I know there was no game last year. I know 2K20 was a fucking disaster. It looks good. Even the commercial itself, I liked it. It kind of reminded me of the old Super Bowl commercial they did all those years ago. So I've learned, though, when it comes to these games, that until you get an actual gameplay video, you know, not to just kind of bet everything on what you see in the trailer. So it looks good from what I've seen, and what I'm kind of excited about is the fact that I didn't realize this game was coming out in March. Usually when WWE games come out, it's in the fall. Usually it's around, like, my birthday, like in October. Now they're putting the game out in March, which I guess they had to. They're going to call it 2K22. You know, it had to come out now. You can't really wait too much longer. So March 11th, the game is coming out. It's coming out for Windows PC. Well, I've got my new machine here, which is loaded up with all the specs I need to be, it's got the RTX 3080 card and all that. So, like, I'm very excited because my plan right now is to bring back Sound Off Gamer and play some 2K22. You know, download that shit in Steam. And let's get some gameplays going. I haven't done any WWE gameplays on this channel since 2K16 came out. And those are some of the funniest ones I ever did. I mean, there's one match where we had Mr. Perfect against Samoa Joe, and there was some kind of glitch. It was just, Samoa Joe looked like something out of Terminator 2 Judgment Day. With his leg, he looked like the T-1000 out there. I'm kind of hoping there are glitches and kinks in this game. I think it'll make the gameplays funnier. But anyway, that's my tentative plan. Unless, of course, they have another mass firing spree in 6 weeks, and then they have to delay the game to redo the entire roster. I'm surprised they have any roster at all with all the people they cut. I'm shocked they're even able to do a game. But yes, I am hopeful to be bringing the gameplays back very soon, once that game comes out. Groovy Goose. WWE, where names change as often as plans do. Marcus says, rewatched your Oregon Trail one the other day. Laughed my ass off. Yeah, people seem to really like that. That was the podcaster's delight. I put a team of podcasters together. It was just me putting their names in. We didn't play together. I forgot the whole team I put together, but I know Sam Roberts was in there. I couldn't figure out who the last member of our team should be, and I put Sam Roberts in there. But everybody died off of, like, cholera, you know, and typhoid and whatever else, gonorrhea, syphilis. I think JD had syphilis or something like that. I forgot. But we all ended up dying because I wouldn't stop. That's the thing. When you're playing the old Oregon Trail game, you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to, you know, hunt for food. Me, I'm very economical. I want to get to where I'm going. So what happened, my mistake was we depleted our food supply and I just kept going. And so eventually everybody died. I think one person died of a broken arm. Another person starved to death. Somebody drowned. It didn't work out too well. It didn't work out too well. That is up, by the way. I have a whole playlist. I organize all the old gamer videos in one playlist on the channel. So if you go to the playlist section, you can find that video and a whole bunch of other ones in there. They're all in there if you want to go back and watch. Become see clearly. I've struggled all my life with sobriety and I'm 24. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but I hope that you're on the straight and narrow right now. Hopefully everything is copacetic with you, my friend. I know it's a tough thing. I've known some people that have gone through that. It's not fun. It's not fun, but I hope you're doing well. Paul Heyman with the $5 super chat. Have a good night, Groovy Goose. Thank you for joining. Paul Heyman says, with all the cuts to Triple H, guys, with the final blow to Triple H, where he finally reaches his breaking point, be if WWE said no more Poppy on WWE television. Turtlehead said, died from the clap. Who died from the... Did I say somebody died from the clap? You could die from the clap, I guess, if it goes untreated. That's not something to fuck with. Paul, I think they've already done away with Poppy already. Aren't they having some other musical guest on the show this week, right? Didn't they promote some other musical guest? I think for the show this coming Tuesday. I know it's not Poppy. There's the Madcap Moss Super Chat. Look at this. Watch this aim. Perfect aim by Kofi Kingston with that gift box. Oofman Entertainment, $2 Super Chat. Oregon Trail, one more round. I might do another one. If you guys want me to, I would consider doing another one. Got to figure out who's on my team, though. And Abhinav with the $2. Would Bryan Cranston be a perfect Vince McMahon for a film? Bryan Cranston is a fantastic actor. I think Bryan Cranston could pull it off. He's got the acting chops for it. So you put Bryan Cranston in anything, and I think that he'll be able to make it work. Walter White as Vince McMahon. I would pay money to see that. I think I would pay money to see that. Beowulf says, my favorite thing in Oregon Trail is hunting. Well, if you remember, in that video, I attempted to hunt, and I couldn't figure out how to, because I was using the keyboard, and I just, for the life of me, I could not figure out how to do it. I just could not. I could not figure out how to do it. So I tried to hunt, and when that failed, I just got back on our horse and buggy, and we just took off for the next town. I think that was my problem. I think the lack of food was probably not such a good idea. Ryan Spies, AEW should bring back the Good Brothers, to be honest. No, I disagree. The Good Brothers are not missed on AEW television. Uffman Entertainment, Oregon Trail, Solomonster, and the Wrenches. Dr. NXT Scorpio, buy or buy Mania 9 or Mania 27. You got to pick one. I'd buy Mania 9. I have a soft spot for WrestleMania 9. Demolition, $1.99 says, free my boy Ali. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad what's going on with Mustafa Ali. I'm going to talk more about that on the podcast on Sunday. We got a lot to cover on the podcast on Sunday. That's going to be episode 740. We're going to talk about the Ali situation. We're going to talk about Volta. We're going to talk about Bully Ray. Excuse me. We'll talk about him, among other things. So we'll have a lot to get into. Yeah, Bearwolf, that was it. To fire your gun in that game, you had to hit the space bar. I just couldn't get my aim right. I just couldn't do it. Yeah, 9 was in Vegas. WrestleMania 9 was in Las Vegas. Caesar's Palace. Or as Vince McMahon said, Caesar's Palace. You got to say it like Vince does. Caesar's Palace. Jose Leanos, a Sound Off legend for 8 months, says Sound Off gamer Wii Bowling. I don't have a Wii. And the thing is, it has to be a PC thing. I can't, like, I don't have the consoles needed in the hookup for the consoles. So it has to be a free game online or something I buy in Steam or something like that. That's why I don't know that Wii Bowling would work. Paul Heyman, can you see Roddy as an accountant on the main roster? So basically what, giving Roderick Strong the IRS gimmick? We are coming up on tax season. Perhaps Vince McMahon has an idea. If we see Roderick Strong show up on TV in a few weeks wearing a tie and suspenders, then I guess you'll have your answer. Are Wii's even popular anymore these days? Nintendo, I don't hear about Wii. I hear about Switch. I had, you know, the Nintendo Switch, PS5, PS4, Xbox One. I mean, does anybody really even bother with the Wii anymore? Somebody asked about the Outlaw Mud Show tomorrow. Well, technically, I guess it's after midnight, so technically it is tomorrow night. Sunday night. Sunday night is the GCW show. And again, if you are not aware, I will be watching the show and covering it live. I'll have the review live here on YouTube. You come back here on Sunday night whenever the show ends. I'm hoping it's not too late, but I'm sure it's going to go. I'm sure it's an 8 o'clock start, so I can't imagine this show goes less than 3 hours. But whenever it's over, you come on back here and we'll talk about it on Sunday night. Yeah, I mean, the Wii and the DS, I didn't own any of those. But anyway, while you guys discuss the Wii amongst yourselves, let's get down to brass tacks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Be the booker. Thank you, Noah. It is time to be the booker, where we book our WrestleMania main event, one for the men, one for the women. We do this at the end of every stream, every AEW stream at least. We take her for a spin, and we see who and what it lands on. Let us see. One half of the men's main event of WrestleMania is going to be occupied by that guy right there, W. Morrissey in Impact, former Colin Cassidy. I know where this is going, but let's just finish this out and see who his opponent is going to be. It will be W. Morrissey going one-on-one against... Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. That's the second time that we have landed on Tamina for the men's WrestleMania main event. Tamina. Tamina against Colin Cassidy. You know what that gets? That gets the double buzzer. I'm giving it two buzzers instead of one. Let's get the hell off this and go to the ladies. I'm disgusted now by that match. I am disgusted by that. Hey, JM, look at this. JM, you just lifted my spirits. He just dropped a $50 super chat. Says, don't forget to hit that like button. This man listens to Jericho's commentary, so we don't have to. You're damn right. You're damn right. I listen to his squealing every week on Rampage commentary. The least you could do is hit that like button. Well, let's try this now with the women. Let's pick the women's WrestleMania main event. Maybe it'll be the opposite this week. We get the horrible men's match, and we actually get a pretty good ladies' match. We have Caitlyn. And Caitlyn will be going one-on-one. Is that Victoria? I think that's Victoria. That's Victoria. Caitlyn and Victoria. I tried. I don't even know why I bother with that one. It never works out well. You know, and when it's going and it's spinning around, I see some very talented women, but yet I end up landing on the ones that I land on. I just don't understand it. I just don't. That's right. As Tuxedo said, that don't work for me, sister. Zinfamous, I don't know if Zinfamous is here tonight, but Zinfamous, you got to update that or create a new one, please, and put even more people in there. I would do it myself if I knew how. I might have to look into just making one of my own. We got to get some more options in that one. Because that just is not going to work. But JM, thank you for that 50 drop. I appreciate that. That is the biggest super chat of the night. Near says, you land on Caitlyn quite too. I'd be so lucky to land on Caitlyn. Dr. NXT Scorpio, $3 super chat. January has been a historic fail for Be the Booker so far. Next week will not matter. Yes, January has been, I think, a complete miss so far for Be the Booker. I have booked this territory into the fucking ground this month. We're not going to make it to February. This promotion is going to go out of business if we book any more matches like that. Huffman says, Tamina is in both the men's and the women's. Yes, I don't know how that happened. I didn't put it together. Don't blame me. Tamina is that we know of. There could be more women in there maybe that it hasn't landed on yet. Maybe Tessa Blanchard is in there. I have no idea. I have no idea. Lakers Pats, thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate it. Zantara, we need 5 more Nia Jax images in there just to get reaction. No, we don't. No, we do not. Don't put that evil on me. Hey, Low-Key Lean, I hope you're having a good Friday night. Cheers to you, my friend. Zinfamous has a sick sense of humor. He is a sick man. So on Sunday, we have episode 740 of the podcast dropping, hopefully earlier in the afternoon. And as I said, coming up on Sunday night is The World on GCW. There is, by the way, for those who are interested, later tonight, Saturday night, 7 Eastern, I believe it is streaming live on Fight TV and on their YouTube channel. GCW is hosting their first induction ceremony for the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame. And CM Punk will be making an appearance. I believe Punk is inducting Dave Prazak among the other folks who are being inducted, like Jerry Lynn and others. So that's going to be free Saturday night. But Sunday night, 7 o'clock, pre-show, they're going to have their own kickoff show with a Battle Royal. And then 8 p.m. is the GCW pay-per-view. It is on Fight. It is on traditional pay-per-view. And I will have the review once that is done. We had some new channel members hook up with the channel tonight. Make sure you check that out. The 1992 Royal Rumble watch along video is about 90 minutes. A lot of cool little stories and facts, little factoids sprinkled in there. We had a good time hanging out, and we'll definitely be doing more of those in the future. In fact, I'm putting a list together because, you know, 1997 alone, you know, there's going to be a lot of big 25-year anniversaries coming up this year. It's going to be the 25th anniversary of the Bret Hart-Steve Austin match at WrestleMania 13. You've got the Canadian Stampede main event in your house from July of 97. Owen Hart and Steve Austin. We all know what happened in that match at SummerSlam. We all know what happened in Montreal at Survivor Series. The first Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. So we might be doing some watch-alongs for some of those matches, among others, throughout the year. And doing that for our channel members. JM with the 1992 Super Chat. Here is a little extra for that Bruce Pritchard Be the Booker performance. Yeah, Bruce Pritchard would be proud of those matches that I booked here. I'd fit right in. I would fit right in on the WWE creator. I don't want the job, but I feel like I would fit in with these recent performances here. Jason with the $2. Buy or sell Be the Booker January 22nd or Winter Combat 95. I'm buying on Winter Combat 95. I ain't buying on Be the Booker tonight. Tuxedo says, solo to WWE creative confirmed. Well, hey, remember what I was told on Twitter the other day. Again, I apparently carry the water for WWE. I carry the water coolers up into the tower in Stanford. So maybe I should take my rightful place on the creative team. Maybe I could help turn that ship around. All right, so I'm going to head out. I hope you guys have enjoyed your SmackDown and Rampage coverage here tonight. Thank you for joining me and choosing me for your coverage. Do hit the like button on your way out. It takes but 1 second of your time. It does help the video out when you do that. And I will be back live on Sunday night. Sunday night, live again Wednesday for Beach Break, AW Dynamite. And next Saturday, 1 week away, the Royal Rumble. One of our biggest streams of the year. I expect that to be our biggest stream until WrestleMania and maybe even after WrestleMania. One of our biggest shows of the year. That'll be on the YouTube channel here 1 week from tonight. I can't wait for all of you to join me then. So be well, stay safe, and join me for the GCW recap on Sunday night. Take care, guys.